right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say to everybody in the chat real quick, Scooter8887 is on. ED2 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. JD Joy is on. Spaz 64 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Robin Aroni is on. Granite 2468 is on. PD Frank 1974 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Malamute Lover is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Snag Dog is on. Chopper Supernut is on. John Phillips is on. D9597 is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Dave Satters is on. Gritterdun is on. JD Wool's on. Peg McGroin is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Let me see. USA Abbey Girl is on. Debnew 2011 is on. Snarl Barkley's on. Spaz 64 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Sexy Pony's on. General Plowman is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Steffa Toms is on. Todd Suff is on. LA 106 Times is on. Bob Corley is on. Kathy 1604 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Judy Anita is on. Joe Heathen is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Tony Nuthead is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just something real quick off of the pregame. It's amazing. Imagine the stance of your party and the education of your party, the knowledge of your party being, well, the stats coming out of CBP, we're always told to trust the government. Now, when you're a leftist, you're always telling all of us on the right to trust the government. And if we don't, we're guilty of a seditious conspiracy, or we're insurrectionists, or we're a threat to democracy at the very least. So I'm just wondering why it is that Chuck Schumer doesn't trust the governmental stats coming from the border. I mean, coming from DHS, coming from CBP, these are the CBP statistical data that's released all the time, that the border is now 99.9% closed. The border is actually, if you look at the specific data, it's 96% completely closed. And if you go by release data, that's including gotaways and everything else, Donald Trump has only released 9 people. In comparison to Joe Biden, release them back into, I'm assuming that is just in the month of, see, it's April, so it's probably at the end of April, probably March stats. Donald Trump released 9 people in the month of March. I'm assuming it's that. Can't be 9 for the year. So, I mean, 9 people? So it's 99.9% closed in total data. And Chuck Schumer's response is, I don't believe the numbers. All he has to do is drive down to the border, which he never does, which Kamala never did, which Joe Biden never did. Kamala, like, you know, played like she went down there by staying at a hotel in El Paso for 24 hours. But they've never gone, oh, go down and check. Why don't you just go down and check, Chucky? You can drive, you can be just like Chrissy Van Hollen. Instead of flying all the way down to El Salvador, you can just fly down to the southern border and you can see that absolutely nobody's crossing. And again, and I don't mean to be redundant, but I just can't help it because we just heard the lies for 4 years. And here's the thing. I was telling this to Aaron when we were watching the pregame. People I can't stand the most are the Mike Pences of the world. Chuck Schumer is Chuck Schumer. Pelosi are Pelosi. They're demons. I get all that. But when you're playing like a Christian and you're playing like a conservative and you're playing like a populist, you're playing like a nationalist and anti-globalist like Mike Pence does, and you use all that rhetoric, you're playing like a pro-life advocate, you are the most disgusting human being in the world because you legislate the opposite of what you say. And what really gets me going about the border is like people like James Lankford. And I mean, you know, it's James Cuckboy Lankford. You know what was coming. Because he jumped on with Chuck Schumer with, we need comprehensive border reform. This has been a complex situation for decades. The border has been broken for decades. And why don't you ever fix it? Well, we want to fix it, but we just don't agree with how Trump is fixing it. But then why don't you ever do your approved program? They never do. It's always, I've heard this, it's going to shock you if you've ever heard me preach. Well, I agree with what he says, just not how he says it. Then why don't you actually live what I say, which is the Bible? Why don't you actually live out the Bible then? If it's just the way I say it that bothers you, then you ought to be living a turn or burn lifestyle. You ought to be living in the promises of God and standing in faith, but you don't. You're masked, you're quarantined, You got twice, three, five, six times vaccinated. You shut your church down. Well, I agree with what he's saying, just not how he says it. But you don't do one thing I say, then how is it that you believe in what I'm saying, but not how I'm saying it? And that's the Mike Pences. They're disgusting human beings. And James Cuckboy Lankford, remember the border security bill that Trump nullified by making phone calls? The one that was going to allow in 5,000 people a day. And just remember how it works. And I won't go too deep into it because that's 30 minutes gone. But remember how that border bill was going to work? The first 5,000 people are let in for free. Aaron, how many people are being let in a day now?
None.
Okay, why do we have to allow in 5,000 people? James Cuckboy Lankford, senator out of Oklahoma, who's a quote-unquote Republican. And where's Congress right now? What are they doing? Nothing. What's the Senate doing? Nothing. You're wondering, we won the Senate, we won the House, we're going to get it all. No, all we have is Trump. Mike Johnson, what does he do every day? Nothing. We just found out, remember the big, beautiful bill? The big, beautiful bill? Remember that? That's going to be coming out, get this, Aaron, in July. Oh. Is it me or is it not even May yet?
Yeah.
So what are you doing for all of May? What are you doing for all of June? What are you doing? Nothing, because they're actually globalist leftist bourgeois elitists themselves with R's in front of their names. And that's the agenda they're actually pushing forward. And they run as conservatives so that they're palatable to their constituency. James Cuckboy Lankford is exactly the same way. That 5,000 per day, that's Canadians and Mexicans. You know how many Canadians come in here a day? Basically none. Do you know how many? I'm talking about illegally crossing the border. When Canadians want to come in, they legally cross the border. Aaron, give me a legally.
Legally?
They cross the border. Okay, so we don't have any illegal Canadians, so it doesn't even count towards the 5,000. And it doesn't even count because it has to be all Canadians and Mexicans. You know how many Mexicans cross the border every day? Hardly any. They've all already crossed. So the count doesn't even start until you get to that 5,000. So everybody else comes in for free. That's James Cuckboy Lankford's border security bill. Remember, we tried to pass a bill. All the Democrats, as Kamala said on the campaign trail, we tried to pass it. We tried to pass comprehensive border reform, a bipartisan border reform bill. And Donald Trump nullified it. He killed it. What, the one that was going to allow in 5,000 people per day, and that only counts Mexicans and Canadians? Everybody else gets in for free? Everybody doesn't even count towards the 5,000? You have to get to the 5,000 Canadians and Mexicans first before you can even start counting anybody else. That's how that bill worked. And I mean, just so you know, that's how it really is. And that is just typical Potomac math. I shouldn't even got into that because it cost the show 10 minutes. But anyway, all right, let's get into this. This is hysterical. This is absolutely hysterically funny. I'm not even going to try. Well, I'm going to try to pronounce his name, but this Sri Thanander, that's how I'm going to say it. Sri Thanander. He is, or Sri Thanader, something like that, is trying to impeach Donald Trump. He's actually trying to impeach Trump. Laura Loomer's all over us. Laura Loomer tweet. Attention, MAGA. The articles of impeachment against President Trump is a financial scam, and Loomer Unleashed has just proven it and exposed it. Basically, Rep. Sri Thanander has nearly $800,000 in campaign debt from his own self-financing. So if you're ever wondering what the motivations are, well, you just always go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He's trying to use the articles of impeachment to raise money so he can put on his little web page, on his profile page, on Twitter or whatever, or on Instagram or Facebook or anything else. I'm the guy impeaching Trump. You can't even impeach him. It'll never get through the House, and it certainly would never get through the Senate. He's trying to use articles of impeachment as a financial scam to have donors donate to impeach Trump. So that's what he's done. So you donate to impeach Trump, and it goes into the pockets of Sri Thanander as a financial scam to have a donors donate to impeach Trump. And then he's going to use the money to get himself out of debt, as you can see from his FEC filings below. You can go to Laura Loomer and get all of that. The DCCC will promote his fundraising links to help him get out of debt. That's why he was chosen to file the articles of impeachment. It's a scam. This is how Washington really works. Remember, all of our government, $37 trillion in debt, is predicated upon forming NGOs that solely and completely hire and employ Democrats, solely staffed by Democrats, paying them multi-million dollar salaries. That's why we're $37 trillion in debt. And then those NGOs hire Democratic Party's attorneys for multi-million dollar salaries. And those attorneys and those NGOs form other Democratic Party NGOs and other Democratic Party think tanks like the Brookings Institute, the National Endowment for Democracy, all scams and fully staffed by Democrats getting multi-million dollar salaries. That's where all of our money goes. But don't worry, Aaron. Don't worry, Joe. Don't worry, everybody watching. They're all nonpartisan.
Oh, of course.
They're right. They're unbiased. They're apolitical. Because they have the National Endowment for Democracy, but they're just like USAID, which funds all those things, and that 98% of them donated to Joe Biden. Don't let anyone gaslight you and tell you it's legitimate. Rep. Sharith Anander is from India, and now he's trying to scam real Americans with blood ties to the soil of our nation so he can get out of debt. All right, let's go to the next one, wherever I'm at. Where the heck am I? I'm all stapled together. Hold on. There we go. All right. Aaron, side by side that real quick. Okay. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? I'm not going to say it out loud. It'd be like defamatory. But what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you see this guy? I mean, this is I'm telling you, like, it gets weirder and weirder. Have you seen the new head of the WEF? I mean, they look like Beelzebub. It's not like they're possessed by Beelzebub. They look like Satan. Look at this guy. And wait, it's even worse. Wait till you hear him talk. Here's 56 seconds of Congressman Sharith Anander. I have introduced articles of impeachment against President Trump. Play for me.
This is Congressman Sharith Anander. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy. But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, that has to be the final straw. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump. The court said the wrongfully deported Kilmer Garcia must be allowed to return and receive due process. Trump ignored it. He ignored the Constitution. He ignored the very checks and balances that keep our democracy intact. This isn't an isolated incident. It's part of a dangerous, deliberate pattern. That's why today I introduced a resolution to impeach Donald J. Trump, outlining 7 articles of impeachment. Article 1, obstruction of justice and abuse of executive power, from denying due process to unlawful deportation.
All right, so there you go. We don't need to hear Article 1, Article 2, Article whatever. There it is. That's the guy who's actually trying to impeach Donald Trump without, and of course, any numbers to be able to do it, just so he can create a website called Impeach Trump to pay off his $800,000 in campaign debt. And you know, I think he's got, are we ready?
Yeah.
I think he's got more to say. So just play it.
There we go.
Hey, boys and girls. do you like popsicles? I've got some down in my freezer, down in my cellar. If you'd like to come get some with me.
There you go. He had more to say. So he just had to put that out there. And I know that's what you're thinking, because that's what I'm thinking too, without saying it. But that's what I think. All right. Laura Loomer video, exclusive video. I love how Laura actually titles her videos. Indian scammer, congressman. Here he is in the halls of Congress. Play for me.
Wait, congressman, one more time. Did you file impeachment articles against President Trump to get out of your nearly $800,000 of campaign debt? You have a history of scamming people. Are you scamming the American people? Would you like to answer, congressman?
Oh, we have done unconstitutional activities that need to be called for.
What about your history of scamming people and your campaign debt? If you hate President Trump so much, why don't you just go back to India?
All right, so there you go. I mean, it is. It's an absolute scam. All right, let's go on to the next thing. So Jeff Bezos decides to turd up. I mean, it's amazing these guys are doing it. After going and making sure that they kissed the ring, donated to the inauguration. I don't know if Bezos did, but I know that Zuckerberg gave $1 million to the inauguration. Kissing Trump's ring, because all of these companies meet the prerequisites for a monopoly. All of them do. So they have to go to the president and kiss his butt and lick his boots. Any president. They have no problem, of course, when it's a Democratic Party president. But now that Trump's in office, they don't know if they're going to go after them as a monopoly. So, you know, of course, we'll see. And by the way, that is actually happening. And I believe that it's definitely, and I don't know about with Bezos, but it is definitively happening with Zuckerberg. So don't expect Zuckerberg to own Instagram much longer or WhatsApp much longer. He may only get Facebook. But Bezos, out of nowhere, decides that he's going to turn up and he's going to put down on all the products that you order what the tariff additional cost is. Now, a great suggestion came from Mike Davis, Article 3 Foundation. Great, one of the greatest attorney in Washington, D.C. A great suggestion when I was listening to War Room today. He gave it. So the great thing about it is Bezos outs himself. If you're ordering something off of Amazon, Amazon Prime, whatever it may be, if you see a tariff notification on it, this is the amount. This cost an extra $70 because of tariffs. Don't buy it. Go buy American. Because they just identified that it came from China. Give me China, Aaron.
China.
It just came from China. So what's the point? Just go and buy American. It's going to be $70 more. You might as well buy an American product, right? I love that coming out of Mike Davis. That is absolutely brilliant coming from the Viceroy of D.C. So here's a Nick Sorter video. Wow, Caroline Levitt just roasted Amazon. Play it for me.
I will take this since I just got off the phone with the president about Amazon's announcement. This is a hostile and political act by Amazon. Why didn't Amazon do this when the Biden administration hiked inflation to the highest level in 40 years? And I would also add that it's not a surprise because, as Reuters recently wrote, Amazon has partnered with a Chinese propaganda arm. So this is another reason why Americans should buy American. It's another reason why we are onshoring critical supply chains here at home to shore up our own critical supply chain and boost our own manufacturing here.
Is Jeff Bezos still a Trump supporter?
Look, I will not speak to the president's relationships with Jeff Bezos, but I will tell you that this is certainly a hostile and political action by Amazon. And Secretary, if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I would also add that the bringing down the terrible Biden inflation has been a priority for the first 100 days of the Trump administration, and President Trump has done a great job of leading that since January 20th. Interest rates.
So Bezos decides to do this. Well, let's go right to President Trump, because Trump ended up on a phone call. I don't know if Bezos called him or he called Bezos or set up call. Don't know. But the results came out. The post-millennial video, Trump on Jeff Bezos. Play for me.
Great. Jeff Bezos was very nice. He was terrific. He solved the problem very quickly. And he did the right thing. And he's a good guy.
So in other words, you're not going to be seeing the tariff costs on your Amazon orders. That would be my assumption. If I never do it, I never order anything off Amazon. I do, but not through, I don't do it directly. I just tell like my wife, can you order that for me? And I don't know where she orders it from. I'm assuming it comes from Amazon. But anyway, so if that's not the case, let me know. Send it to me in the chat, whatever it may be. Because as of right now, my belief is he said that Jeff Bezos took care of the problem. Well, the problem is that Jeff Bezos was putting the tariff amounts on every order. Which again, for me, it's like, great. It identifies that it's coming from a foreign country and 99.9% of it from his really kind of pseudo-criminal dealings with the CCP. Along with Zuckerberg's pretty much criminal dealings with the CCP. All right, interesting little side note video here, Jack Posobiec video. Someone had to say it, so it might as well be me, says Jack Posobiec. DEI ends lives. I remember I said this the other night that nobody's talking about this anymore. The Black Hawk crash with the commercial airliner at Reagan National in Washington, D.C. Nobody's ever talking about it anymore. Well, more information has come out. The pilot of the Black Hawk ignored her co-pilot and ignored them. Like drop down 300 feet, because if you don't, you're going to crash into a commercial airliner and kill 11 kids, not to mention everybody else on board. But well, don't worry, because she was a DEI hire, just like everybody said, who worked for Joe Biden. Play it for me.
This was a horrific crash. 67 people lost their lives, including 11 children and their parents. And be clear about this, 11 children and their parents. The next day, I actually had the opportunity to travel to Reagan National Airport where this took place and was there with NTSB. We reported this at the time, and we were on a visit with the Secretary of Homeland Security for the Coast Guard recovery efforts, interviewed Secretary Noem right just feet away from where this helicopter and where the bodies lay. Well, now the report has come out, and the New York Times posted this yesterday. Many people were asking, what could it be? Well, it was pilot error. That was the case. The pilot, female, Rebecca Lobach, who also worked in the Biden White House, ignored orders and warnings to move or to get out of the way or to descend right before she crashed into the airplane. President Trump talked about this as well and blamed it at the time. Let's play the clip.
I'm trying to figure out how you can come to the conclusion right now that diversity had something to do with this crash.
Because I have common sense, okay? And unfortunately, a lot of people don't. We want brilliant people doing this. This is a major chess game at the highest level. When you have 60 planes coming in during a short period of time, and they're all coming in different directions, and you're dealing with very high-level computer work and very complex computers. And one of the other things I will tell you is that the systems that were built, I was going to rebuild the entire system, and then we had an election that didn't turn out the way it should have, but they didn't build the systems properly.
And there you go, folks. President Trump called it out at the time, and it turns out President Trump was right. DEI ends lives.
67 people dead. 1/6 of them were children, all because she didn't follow orders. The pilot of the Black Hawk ignored her co-pilot and the tower telling her to get out of the way of the plane, and 11 children died. Go ahead and put that up for me, guys, side by side. He told her he believed the Black Hawk was 15 seconds away from crossing paths with the jet. Warrant Officer Eves then turned his attention to Captain Lobach. He told her he believed the air traffic control wanted them to turn left towards the East River Bank. Turning left would have opened up more space between the helicopter and flight 5342, which was heading for runway 33 at an altitude of roughly 300 feet. She didn't do any of it. She blew off the tower, which told her to lower her altitude. She blew that off. Then she blew off her co-pilot, telling her that, you know, you're supposed to turn to the left. I believe the tower. She didn't look for confirmation because, you know what? She's an arrogant DEI hire who killed 67 people, 11 of them kids. And by the way, Democrats, there's Democrats on that plane too. Just like it's always amazing to me. You know, we're advocates for women. You kill 500,000 of them in the womb per year in the United States alone, 20 million worldwide, and you're an advocate for women. You know, DEI is just a wonderful thing. I'm just wondering, when was the last time this ever happened with a non-DEI hire? Never. That's why. That's when. Let's go to the next one. Johnny Maga video, all things Trump right now. Energy Secretary Chris Wright just revealed that Biden drained the strategic petroleum reserve, strategic oil reserve, a lot of us call it SOR, petroleum reserve, so rapidly to drop prices before the election. Do you see what this whole country's about? He refused to rescue astronauts, which, by the way, you can do severe medical damage to them. We don't know yet what their consequences are. Hopefully none. He didn't rescue them. They could have been rescued in August or September, and they weren't rescued until Trump won the election and sent Elon Musk up to rescue them. Remember, Elon offered to rescue them 9 to 10 months prior to their actual rescue. But why didn't he rescue them? Because he didn't want to give Trump a win, because Elon was a supporter of Trump. That's so disgusting. I mean, would you ever do that? I mean, would you ever do that? I mean, if you were the FBI and you found Hunter Biden's laptop with clear pedophilic evidence on it, would you suppress it so that Biden wins the election? That's in 2020. Would you? Think about how disgusting these human beings are. Think about how repulsive they are. Would you conjure up charges against somebody that you knew they didn't commit and crimes that don't even exist and send them to prison for decades? Would you do that? That's what we're up against. And it's for real. And it doesn't feel for real until you're Bannon, Navarro, or Flynn, and you're sitting in prison. Or Roger Stone. Sitting in prison or about to go to prison. So Chris Wright says, you know, Biden lowered the levels of the SOR to drop prices before the election. That's his motivation. Just like there was no concern about the open border until January of 2024. Not one concern in 2021, none in 2022, none in 2023. And then lo and behold, he comes to Jesus in 2024 and starts caring about the border and the sex trafficking and the federal fentanyl trafficking and the labor trafficking. Suddenly Biden cares. But not for three freaking years where you had 300,000 people per month illegally crossing the border. I mean, it's amazing. 400,000 children are missing, 100,000 per year under the Biden administration, missing into the wind. Doesn't care at all until it's an election year. Just imagine how devoid of human integrity, of human dignity you have to be a Democrat in 2025. And yes, I said exactly that. So Energy Secretary Chris Wright just revealed that Biden drained the strategic petroleum reserve so rapidly to drop price before the election that it actually damaged, get this, Aaron, half of the facilities. Jeez. But who cares, right? As long as Kamala, give it to me, Aaron.
Kamala.
Wins an election. Who cares if we damage the infrastructure of the United States of America? As long as I win. That's such the attitude in Washington, D.C. As long as I get my money, who cares? If the whole country goes bankrupt, which by the way, means you'll no longer get your money. I don't understand how people don't get it. Again, you're Mike Johnson, and you keep passing Biden-level spending, $37 trillion in debt, because if you don't do it, you feel like you might not get elected. Well, you might get elected again, but is it going to matter when the dollar means nothing? I mean, I don't understand how people don't think this way. I scored a political win. Okay, you scored a political win by draining the strategic oil reserve, damaging the facilities in a country that's $37 trillion in debt, and you win a political victory in a country that may no longer exist because of your political victory. Play for me, Joe.
The price right enough, pun intended, I suppose, Mr. Secretary, to refill the strategic petroleum reserve right now.
Oh, absolutely. We are refilling the reserve now, and we will continue to refill the reserve the whole time I'm in office. You know, that was just such an irresponsible action to drain that reserve so quickly for electoral reasons. And in fact, it was drained so fast, it did some damaging to the facilities. And so right now, we only can fill two of the four major salt caverns we have. So we're doing repair work on the other two. We're slowly filling the other two. And I'm trying to get some funds through Congress that'll give us a longer-term runway to fill the strategic petroleum reserve at the fastest rate we can.
So who cares if I feloniously destroy infrastructure on purpose, at least through culpable negligence, as long as I win an election, right? That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. And this is also what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Libs of TikTok video. Does anyone recognize this Tesla vandal in California? Let's just show it again. So we have over 1,000 people watching right now. I don't know how many people watching on the Christian Television Network. So let's make this guy as famous as we can. Play it for me.
A Cybertruck's cameras capture the moment a man allegedly vandalized the vehicle. This happened Saturday outside a floor and decor store at the Carson Town Center in Carson. The Cybertruck's owner says they had no prior interaction with the man seen keying the vehicle. They say it resulted in $7,000 worth of damage. The alleged vandal and another man drove away in a blue Honda CR-V.
So here we are again. That's what it means. Again, find me videos of Republicans behaving that way. I would love to see it. You can send them to me. Really, you can. Send them to me on Twitter. I mean, it's easy. Just send them. You can't. Republicans don't act that way at all, ever. What about January 6th? Well, we can dive into that for an hour. But again, we need to find out who exactly it was in the crowd that instigated it all. And again, even then, Republicans didn't harm anyone. What about the cops? What about them? What about them? They can't, the ones that claim to be injured, like Fanon, won't release their body camera footage. Fanon, Gunnell had this severe injury, and we have the video of him uninjured. Sicknick was killed by a fire extinguisher. We have video of him 2 hours after he was killed. He's perfectly fine. Same thing with Harry Dunn and all the rest of the liars. But anyway, all right, here's Ilhan Omar assessing Trump's first 100 days. Play for me.
We knew that the lies, the chaos, and the destruction were on its way when Trump got sworn in. 100 days ago. And just in 3 months, we have seen the gutting of institutions, the shattering of norms, and the fundamental rights of so many people being trampled on. We have watched Trump tear through our government like a wrecking ball by destabilizing federal agencies, undermining the rule of law, and lashing out against anyone who dares to dissent.
All right, so let's look at this. He says that he has undermined the rule of law. Tell us exactly how. This is my thing with all of this. This may get redundant for those of you that watch this podcast all the time. I just want lists. I love lists. You ever watch me preach? I love lists. So, and I like specifics. I do not like generalities. Whenever I wasn't able to watch it this year, but with the NFL draft, I like listening to Mel Kiper talk about right, wrong, and different. He's specific. I like specifics. So if you're going to say that Trump has attacked the rule of law, tell me how, because all they're doing is giving you generalities, which is gaslit propaganda to basically incite the mob. So he attacked the rule of law, destabilized government agencies. Exactly how has he destabilized government agencies? And what do these agencies do that make it so vital to not be destabilized? I mean, name what these, what specific tasks, what specific problems they solve, what tasks they perform, what jobs they do. Name exactly what these government agencies that Trump is destabilizing, name what they do that you're so concerned about them being destabilized. Because if they've all been destabilized and this causes a political earthquake to hit the United States of America, I haven't noticed it. Nothing's changed for me since there's no more USAID. Previously 14,000 employees, now none. Doesn't that throw me off at all? Not one thing has changed in my life. And one thing that I did notice was gas was $2.98 in the state of Florida. Was never that way, not one day under the Biden administration, but it is now $2.98. Here, I've noticed that. But USAID's gone. Don't care. I care more about what I flushed down the toilet at 4 o'clock this afternoon than I do about the USAID. Seriously, I care more about it. I would go and look for that before I'd ever go look for USAID. Causing chaos. What chaos? What chaos is there? Name it. Can you name it? Give me a list of the chaos. Shattering norms. Good, because the norms, again, if you're going to defend norms, then you're going to have to name their lineage of success. So the norms have led to $37 trillion in debt, and you don't want them attacked? Give me the credibility of the norms. Give me their excellent performance. I would love to see it. If we're not going, because in order for you to be concerned about attacking norms, then the norms must really perform well with $37 trillion in debt. Gutting institutions. Okay, the same argument. If you're so concerned about gutting institutions, then give me their lineage of success. Tell me how successful they are. Because you just want to keep doing this. There we are. We're edging ever closer to $37 trillion in debt. And she doesn't want to gut institutions that cause this. Again, what leave this up here. What are these institutions? What exactly? These are institutions that simply form other institutions that do nothing. That's all they are. And I keep forgetting to do it. I've got to bring my Doge list of all the expenditures that she obviously wants to keep on doing. All the expenditures that she wants to continue. Yeah, all she wants to continue is agencies like USAID and the National Institute for Peace forming NGOs that will employ her and other Democrats that will then contribute to Democratic Party campaigns, including hers when she finally runs for Senate, which we all know she eventually will. That's all that it is. And I'm talking about billions upon tens of hundreds of billions going to these NGOs that give Democrats multi-million dollar jobs like her. That's all she cares about. And imagine that. Imagine being so short-sighted that you yourself are receiving millions. Get this now. You're receiving millions yourself from a country that will soon be bankrupt because you're receiving those millions, which then makes all of your money worthless. But yet you still fight for it. That makes sense, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't understand people. I really don't get it. You ever want to watch a message about a pastor who doesn't understand people? watch the Sunday at Foundation Church because I've got a diatribe that you're going to love. Because I never understand how people just don't look at themselves honestly. How they belie logic in self-assessment. That really blows my mind. How you, all the fruits say that you're wrong, and yet you still believe you're right. How's a false prophet known? By their fruit. Thomas Earn video. Leftist attempts to compare. This is so funny. I just had to put it in. I don't know what I'm going to say about it, but Dinesh D'Souza is awesome in this video. Thomas Earn video. Leftist attempts to compare Dinesh D'Souza, who came to the country legally, give it to me, Aaron.
Legally.
Came to the country legally with Abrego Garcia, who came illegally. Give me that, Aaron.
Illegally.
There you go. I mean, imagine that. That you're going to, as a Democrat, you are so blind, you are so delusional that you think that Dinesh D'Souza is in the same stratosphere as Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who came in illegally as an MS-13 member in 2012. Got caught up in a MS-13 gang sweep in 2019 and given a final order of removal, deportation. After that, he gets caught trafficking. Human trafficking in Tennessee. And prior to that, he has two injunctions of protection filed against him by his wife because he beat the crap out of her. This is the guy that Chrissy Van Hollen out of Maryland has to go down again. This guy believes is the same as Dinesh D'Souza. Play for me.
Get into some of those today. You were born in India and you're here legally. I want you here. I support your right to free speech. But if we start throwing people like you out of the country with the Democratic president, like that's not right either. And I don't want that. And I want to make sure that people have access to due process. So they've got to show that Kilmar is a dangerous criminal, which I don't think they can do because otherwise they would have already done it. Otherwise, we need to bring this guy home. That's what the Supreme Court has ruled. And every day that Trump is not listening to the Supreme Court, we're in the middle of a constitutional crisis.
Okay, well, let's go to Dinesh for a response to that.
Well, let's look at the differences between me and Kilmar. For one, I came to the country legally as an exchange student. I then became a foreign student and went to Dartmouth. Then I went through a process of getting a green card legally to work. I went through 5 years of naturalization. So I came to the country in 1978. I only became a citizen in 1991. This guy, Kilmar, came to the country illegally. So start right there. This was a guy who sneaked into the country in violation of law. That alone makes him a criminal. Now, the question is, what do we do about people like Kilmar? The accomplishment, Pierre, as you noted, Trump has sealed the border, so it's difficult for new Kilmars to sneak across. But we still have millions of people who are flagrantly and deliberately allowed in by Biden, and just millions of illegals in the country. Does Trump have the right to send those people home? That's the first question we have to ask. Now, an immigration judge admittedly looked at this case and said, yes, I kind of accept that this guy was a gang member based upon an identification apparently by someone in the gang. Note also that the judge said about Kilmar, if he goes back to El Salvador, he will be in danger of being killed by a rival gang. That alone implies that the guy himself was a gang member. Why would a rival gang target him if he wasn't himself in a gang? So the Trump administration has made this determination based upon the facts of the case. They've sent him to his native country, El Salvador. He's a citizen of El Salvador. It's the job of the Salvadoran government to decide what to do about his gang membership or his criminal status. That is not really our concern. So I do see these notable differences between Kilmar and Dinesh.
You just look at these guys, these leftist commentators, and I just want to tell them because they're so non-masculine. I mean, they're just absolutely non-masculine. They've never made a stand in their entire life. And I just want to tell them, shave off your beard, transition, shove a tampon up your rectum, whatever it is that you need to do, just go the whole way. Because you make absolutely no sense whatsoever. You're comparing, and I already gave his history, Kilmar Abrego Garcia with Dinesh D'Souza, who came legally into the country in 1978, got a student visa and attended Dartmouth. I wonder which college did Kilmar attend? The College of Human Trafficking? Then he got his green card. This all took not from 1978 to 1991. what's that, 13 years? 13 years it took him. Gilmar Abrego Garcia comes in 2012 illegally and gets a final order of removal in 2019 because he's caught up in an MS-13 gang sweep. Why was he caught up in an MS-13 gang sweep? Because he was in the midst of MS-13 leaders, of which he is one. And the only reason why he wasn't allowed, and by the way, it was the Biden administration that put Guatemala on his final order of removal, the withholding order that says he can't be removed from the country. He can be removed anywhere except Guatemala is what Biden put down. It was supposed to say El Salvador. Says the clerical error was Biden's fault. And the reason why he couldn't go back to El Salvador and they mistakenly put Guatemala was because of the 18th Street gang that was a rival gang of MS-13, as Dinesh D'Souza illustrated, confirming that he was, in fact, a gang member. And now Dinesh D'Souza had to go through 5 years of naturalization, finally gets citizenship, legal citizenship, in 1991. And you are so stupid. And then the Democrat cuckboy on that show says, you know, I you have the right to be here. And I affirm your right to free speech and everything. Oh, thank you so much, cuckboy. And he says, but what about when a Democratic Party administration comes in and starts removing you? He's a citizen of the United States of America. He is a naturalized citizen of the United States of America. Like Elon Musk, he cannot be deported because he immigrated legally and is now a citizen. What do you not see?
I know.
Help me understand, Aaron.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you not see? You're going to deport citizens? When has that ever happened? Republican or Democrat administration, we start deporting our political rivals. He thinks the next Democrat comes in and they're going to round up the Dinesh D'Souzas and Elon Musks and deport them? That will never happen. It's just an absolute asinine idiot statement. The level of idiocy is really galactic. There's no way to even make it an argument that you can even comprehend. Speaking of that, let's go to Michelle Obama. Benny Johnson video, Michelle Obama says President Trump deportations keep her up at night. Play for me.
Couldn't be. We couldn't walk around saying valedictorian, straight A student, speaks excellent, has excellent diction if you give them a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew very early on that no one was going to see beyond the color of our skin at an early age. And that could get you in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about that fear, I'm sure that fear has been tested across your life in so many different places. And I wonder, what would you say has been the most hardest recent test of that fear? Because it's not one of those fears that you kind of get over and it just goes away. It kind of shows its head in many different ways, I imagine.
Well, in this current climate for me, it's, what's happening to immigrants, so it's not the fear for myself anymore. I drive around in a four-car motorcade with a police escort. I'm Michelle Obama. I do still worry about my daughters in the world, even though they are somewhat recognizable. So my fears are for what I know is happening out there in streets all over the city. And now that we have leadership that is sort of indiscriminately determining who belongs and who doesn't, and we know that those decisions aren't being made with courts and with due process, and that it's being made like this cop that pulled my brother over when he was 12. You don't look like somebody that belongs.
Okay, Michelle is now in her 60s, and she's talking about her brother being pulled over 50 years ago. And that still bothers you? Because some cop pulled your brother over 50 years ago, and you're worth $300 million? And as you say, the fear is no longer about me, because I get to drive around in a Secret Service four-car motorcade because I am Michelle Obama. That's exactly what she said. Ooh. And she says that she worries about people being indiscriminately deported. No, Michelle, the people that are being deported are criminal aliens. It's not indiscriminate. It's not based on race. We're deporting Chinese. We're deporting Latin Americans. We're deporting white people, black people, and everybody else who's ever illegal gets deported. It's not indiscriminate. It's very discriminate. Take the IN off. It's discriminate. I mean, Tom, you're so fired up. I don't get idiocy. I don't understand how you could sit there and make that argument. It's beyond me. You say indiscriminate when it is very discriminate. And here's the little interesting from Benny Johnson. Michelle Obama says President Trump's deportations keep her up at night. Does she know that Barack Obama, her husband, deported 5.3 million people? In 8 years, 5.3 million people. I guess were Aaron indiscriminately plucked from the streets.
I guess, yeah.
And by the way, most of them, if not all of them, were people of color. If you want to call Hispanic people, people of color. There you go. Didn't keep her up at night then. That's what's always so amazing to me now with the tariff argument. These tariffs are evil. Donald, how dare Donald Trump levy tariffs on people tariffing us? Why don't the countries who are levying tariffs on the United States bother you? Why aren't those tariffs evil? I mean, imagine that. Imagine that. That's like saying that the person victimizing you is not evil and the person who is your savior is evil. I'm not saying that in a savior Jesus kind of way. I mean, imagine that. Your hero is evil, Donald Trump, trying to save you from evil tariffs, using tariffs as leverage. He's evil, but the original tariffs levied on the United States are not evil. Where was Lawrence O'Donnell? I mean, where was Jake Tapper and Chuck Todd and all the rest of these people calling these tariffs evil? Why aren't the Chinese tariffs on America evil? Why aren't the Spain tariffs on America evil? The French tariffs on America evil? The English tariffs on America evil? The Chinese tariffs on America, whatever it may be. Why were they never evil until we implemented tariffs? I mean, again, these arguments make no sense at all. Put me on a show. I'll scream just like this. And by the way, they can't talk over me because I will scream over them. I will never stop talking. I will never let them interrupt me. I'll just go ahead and keep on screaming and get louder and louder and louder. You might be thinking I'm loud now. This is nothing. This is nothing. I can get way louder, way louder. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's go to the border. Breaking out more at the border anyway. Breaking 9/11 video. This video just irritates the crap out of me. CNN blurs mugshots of criminal legal aliens. All of them are criminals, and they're blurring the mugshots. Play it for me.
The Trump administration is approaching its first 100-day mark with a full court press on the issue of illegal immigration, and they really don't want you to miss it. So they subtly and tastefully deck the White House North Lawn with dozens of yard signs featuring photos of people that the Trump administration claims are in the country illegally, each poster saying, arrested, and listing the alleged offensive with which they have been charged. CNN's working to confirm the identities, and if there are actual allegations against these people, until then, we are blurring their identities.
Oh, but I'm sure they would have blurred them if Biden put them out, right? I mean, they just reveal their partisanship. They just reveal their bias. They just reveal that they're Goebbels. They never would blur anything that Biden ever did, but they blurred Donald Trump's. Until we confirm who these people are, again, then that makes you anti-democracy because you're questioning institutions. I was told over the last 4 years, 15 days to flatten the curve, that if I question an institution, I'm an insurrectionist. I'm guilty of seditious conspiracy. I'm a threat to democracy if I dare question the CDC, the NIH, the NIAID, the FBI, the DHS, the HHS. If I dare question them, I'm a threat to democracy. Well, aren't you questioning these government entities who have now put this out? Oh, we have to now because they're Republicans. That's how we feel when they're Democrats, just so you know. Jakey Tapper. Hey, this is a good one. Put the pickup for me. Hundreds of lawyers. This is great. This is, by the way, I looked into this. Absolutely true. It's not just a graphic that was put up. Hundreds of lawyers quit the DOJ's, went AWOL, Civil Rights Division. Now, why do I bring this up? First of all, this is great. Because the Civil Rights Division, why do we need a Civil Rights Division? Whose civil rights are getting abused? I don't know, nobody. But anyway, so hundreds of them have left basically because they weren't showing up to work anyway. So that's like saying, you know what, Tom, you lost $1 million that you never had. Okay, thank you for telling me I lost it. It was never here anyway. So these lawyers weren't showing up. And by the way, Civil Rights Division may sound familiar to you because that's where Matthew Colangelo came from. When you head up the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ, your third in command of the DOJ. Remember, he was dispatched to New York to reinvigorate the Alvin Bragg, Donald Trump campaign finance violation case, the 34 felonious counts. Remember that? That Matthew Colangelo was in charge of the Civil Rights Division until Merrick Garland dispatched him. You imagine that, your third in charge of the entire DOJ, federal, making hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And you take a pay cut of about 300 or 400%. So you're going from like $500,000 a year to making like 120 a year to go take a line prosecutor job in NYC. And by the way, is Matthew Colangelo still in that job right now? Shall we look into that? As I seriously doubt he is. Or he's probably on sabbatical. So I just wanted to remind you what this division is all about. And thank God we have Harmeet Dhillon now in charge of that division. And lots of people are quitting, saving us hundreds of millions of dollars. Fantastic. For people that sit around and do nothing all day, that's our government. They're just forming NGOs and sitting around and doing nothing all day and collecting paychecks. Empty office building after empty office building. But don't worry, Aaron. Don't worry, Joe. Don't worry, everybody's watching. We only pay like $60 million a month to rent the freaking thing when nobody shows up. Let's go to the next one. Grace Chong video. Mike Davis, one of my favorite people. Now that we have Trump's antitrust law enforcers at the FTC, here comes the rhinos. Jimmy Jordan. At the FTC and the... You ever wonder why it is? You never hear Jim Jordan actually ever accomplish anything? Hear great speeches. He tears apart, you know, the people who've been nominated to Democrat positions and, you know, the confirmation hearings. And the same thing with John Kennedy, you know, from Louisiana. They're so great. They just tear him up. Same thing with Tommy Cotton, who's actually a globalist leftist bourgeois elitist who wants Pete Hegseth's job and the chief of staff for Pete Hegseth, or not actually chief of staff for Mike Walsh, who sabotaged the signal chat, was Tom Cotton's chief of staff. Weird how that works, isn't it? But anyway, you ever notice how these people never get anything done? I mean, does anybody notice it? Nothing ever gets done. We just go further and further and further into the abyss of debt. But anyway, Mike Davis, now that we have Trump's antitrust law enforcers at the FTC and the antitrust, which is bankruptcy division, with a target on Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple, Jim Jordan all of a sudden wants to use the reconciliation process to effectively defund the FTC. Play it for me.
Jim Jordan, nice guy, but he's always carried the water for big tech, and he's carrying the water for big tech now because now that Trump's antitrust law enforcers are really heating up their efforts against Google and Facebook and Amazon and Apple, you see Jim Jordan doing something he hasn't done for 4 years. But for 4 years of unprecedented Republican-ing lawfare against Trump, his top aides, his supporters, parents, Christians, you never saw Jim Jordan trying to do anything at the Biden Justice Department to stop them. You never saw him trying to cut their funding. You never saw him trying to shut down agencies like the Civil Rights Division or the DC U.S. Attorney's Office, who are the tips of the spear in this persecution. But now that we have Trump's antitrust law enforcers at the FTC and the antitrust division over the target on Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple, Jim Jordan all of a sudden wants to use the reconciliation process to effectively gut and end the Federal Trade Commission, while the Federal Trade Commission is just about ready to hold Meta, Facebook, accountable for its antitrust abuses. This is the same Facebook that spent $400 million chasing Trump out of office in 2020, exactly, subjecting him to lawfare.
So what's Jim Jordan on and about doing? Well, we'd have to trace his finances to find out, shall we? That's what needs to happen. I hope Elon's all over it, you know, because here's the thing. It's just like Mike Davis said. For years, you had this lawfare, whether it's Civil Rights Division out of the DOJ itself, with Lisa Monaco and Merrick Garland, persecuting via prosecution Donald Trump. And not one time did Jim Jordan ever try to defiance any of that. Not once. But now that the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, is zeroing in on his campaign contributors, suddenly he wants to defiance them. So he wants to defiance the people who are going to try to prosecute or shut down Democratic Party acolytes who have persecuted Donald Trump. Again, he's trying to shut down the agency now fully staffed, the FTC, Federal Trade Commission. He didn't want to shut down the FTC when it was fully staffed by Democrats, but he wants to shut it down now that it's fully staffed by Republicans. What does that make him? What does that make Jim Jordan? He does nothing. Aaron said it right when we watched the video. They never do anything all day. What does he ever do? Have any of these Republicans, whether it's Johnson, whether it's Jordan or anybody else, have tried to codify any of Trump's executive orders? No, not one. Not one, not they haven't tried to codify any of them into law. But yet here you have a fully Republican staffed, a fully MAGA staffed FTC zeroing in on our persecutors, and Jim Jordan wants to defund the people who are going to prosecute our persecutors. What are these? You can't trust any of these disgusting, spineless, vaxxed worms. They're gross. Absolutely disgusting human beings. We need to trace his finance. How much money does he get from Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple? Because he certainly doesn't want them to go before the antitrust division at the FTC. Why? Why? Are they not monopolies? Are they not? Explain to me what other search engine are you going to use outside of Google? I know DuckDuckGo, and I use it. I'm just saying it doesn't compare. They leverage everybody out. They leverage everybody out, like Walmart. They leverage every business out. Because once you get so big and you are receiving product from other places, all you have to do is tell these other companies, if you sell to another company outside of me, you lose your contract with me. That is a monopoly. That makes sense there?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. There you go. Right, let's go to the next one. This, speaking of monopolies, Mike Benz, look at, read the bottom first. In 1991, I told you, how are these people, are any of these people legitimate? J.B. Pritzker is this multi-billionaire governor of Illinois. I know he owns like Hyde or whatever, but how did he get the money for that? I want to know how his family got rich. Because did it come through NGOs? Did it come through government contacts? Or did he actually use capitalism to get rich? Maybe he did. I'd like to know. Same thing with Warren Buffett. Because Warren Buffett would be bankrupt right now if it wasn't for the government. In 1991, Warren Buffett was about to lose everything. Sobbing in tears, this guy puts on all these conferences about how to become rich like me. Sobbing in tears, he called the Fed's Treasury Secretary as a last resort. Here's the wild story, and you can go right there to Nikolai Christensen and get the whole story. But Mike Benz, I love how he sums it up. A good investor knows the market. A great investor knows the Treasury Secretary. That's how it really works. That's called crony capitalism, where you use politics to crush your opponents, to crush your competition. And then when you are about to go bankrupt, like he was, you call the Treasury Secretary to work out a deal so that you don't, which, by the way, costs somebody, probably us taxpayers, so that Warren Buffett can continue to be rich and put on conferences about becoming like Warren Buffett. When all that he is a government grifter. That's what, I mean, he wouldn't be rich right now. He'd be finished if it wasn't for his government contacts changing the rules solely for him. All right, let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes tweet. This is great. It keeps happening. It keeps happening more and more in the high jump division in California, I think it was, or maybe it was Washington State. Can't remember. It was a leftist state, Oregon, Washington, California. And again, this is amazing to me because you have all these parents. Look at my virtue as I clap for the man defeating my daughter on the track. Hey, look at my virtue. Do you realize that you will destroy the very sport your daughter's competing in? You get to be virtuous for a day. But you eventually will no longer be able to even attend your daughter's athletic events because there won't be any more legitimate daughters competing in those events. There'll be men pretending to be women. In those two divisions, in the high jump divisions, both of the state champions were both fully penis men competing against women. And now we have it here too. Adam Hughes, science. Remember, we got to follow the science. Imagine being told to follow science by people who call women men and men women, who can't define a woman. Scientists are baffled. I love the sarcasm. Why women with prior experience living as men are able to beat female athletes without that same experience so easily? In other words, these men just jump into these women's divisions and they're competing against women who have competed at that event for 15 years. And they themselves just competed in it for 6 months and they beat all the women who have been competing at it for 15 years. Amazing, isn't it? Well, you know why that is? It's called testosterone. Hugo identifies, that's the guy below, as a woman, so he is allowed to compete against women. This weekend in Texas, everybody thinks Texas is red. You need to look into it. I've been covering it. You need to look into it. Texas has fallen. We just don't know it yet. All the people living there are red. But the quote-unquote Republican politicians, not one of them is. Namely, the House. This weekend in Texas, he won every swimming event he entered. in the U.S. Masters National Championship. Down below, male swimmer won every event at Women's National Swimming Championship. Hugo Anna. Get that, Aaron?
Yeah.
Hugo, that's his name. Anna Caldez, Caldez, won all five events he entered at the U.S. Masters Swimming National Championship in Texas this weekend. Probably, this is Masters, so this is older, like people in their late 20s, early 30s. So he's probably never been a swimmer his whole life, just goes in and defeats female swimmers. He beat his female competitors by 3 to 5 seconds. These are events that are usually decided by tenths or hundreds of seconds. He's winning by 5 seconds. Imagine that lead, just 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005. That's what he wins. In every race, 3 to 5 seconds. Prior to identifying as a woman, Caldez participated on the Ohio Splash Team, a swim club for homosexual males.
Ooh.
Of course. I mean, it's. I mean, I just. I, this is what it means to be a Democrat in 2020. You celebrate this. I mean, because in you should see. I'm not going to get to it tonight. I will hopefully this week. I got a whole stack on Democratic Party states and cities. What's going on in Tampon Tim Walz's Minnesota? You should see what's happening there. They're basically just opening the floodgates to trans athletes participating in women's sports and every other sort of trans agenda item. They are opening the floodgates. They are passing all pro-trans legislation in the state of Minnesota. All right, let's go to the next one for me. If you're interested, you can go and get on to Kamala Harris's live stream for $25. Failed presidential candidate Kamala Harris to speak on Wednesday. Oh, yay! So we can all listen to a barf word salad sandwich for an hour. Harris to speak on Wednesday. Digital tickets cost $25 to watch her. I gotta see how many tickets that are actually sold. I want to see the amount of revenue that's raised with this. I mean, they may be able to pull it off with bots. I don't know, but who in the world would pay $25? I would rather pay $25 to have you individually pull out all my arm hairs than watch 1 minute of Kamala Harris. Literally, just take me to a Chinese torture camp. Take instead of paying $25 to listen to Kamala Harris speak.
We did it, Joe. We did it.
Hey, let's skip the next one. Let's go to Canada. We got a Canadian in the room tonight, so I want to get to Canada. So skip Limpy. There you go. Put it up there for me. All right, now, this is why Pierre Poilievre lost. Now, listen, Alex Jones and I differ on this. I somewhat agree with him. It's not 100% either way. But Alex Jones basically blames Trump for Pierre Poilievre losing. I don't. Pierre Poilievre sowed the seeds of failure, sowed the seeds of defeat many years ago. Christine Anderson, European Union, right-winger, not, they always say alt-right or whatever, just a right-winger, anti-COVID, anti-mask, anti-vax. He refused to meet with her because he didn't want to be in any way connected to her. And she's a major right-wing advocate. If you're going to be an anti-globalist, then you're going to need to connect with the, you know, the Viktor Orbans of the world and all the others out of the European Union. There's not a whole lot of them to choose from. Christian Terhis, but Pierre Poilievre will never meet with these people because he doesn't want to be connected to them. He doesn't want to be considered as one of these right-wing zealots. Well, that costs you. You know, I mean, it's right out, you know, Revelation 3:15-16. I know that works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Being lukewarm, saying you're one thing and refusing to meet with others who are that one thing and not legislating that one thing, saying you're one thing and not living it, that's lukewarm. That's like being a Christian and you're sleeping with your boyfriend. I'm an evangelical Christian, but I'm sleeping with my boyfriend or my girlfriend. You're not. Well, I believe in God's grace will cover it. That's incorrect. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That's why it's Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. That's why God says in Psalm 138, 2, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name. For you have magnified your word above all your name. It's about the word. It's about the actual truth, not what you say that you are. All right, so Pierre Poilievre, President Trump, this is what he said. You want to lose an election? Tell Trump to stay out of it. Now, Alex Jones says that Donald Trump stirring up Canadian animosity towards the United States cost Pierre Poilievre the election. He said that's what stirred it up. I don't think that's necessarily completely and totally not true, but Pierre Poilievre sabotaged his own election a long time ago by not being a legitimate right winger. If you're going to be a right winger, be a right winger. Hang around with right wingers, espouse right wing principles, and then all the right wingers will come out and vote for you, i.e. Donald Trump. But he didn't. He told Donald Trump to stay out of election. You know how many people win when they tell Donald Trump to stay out of it? None. Statistically, none. He's the biggest right winger on the planet. He told him to stay out of the election. The only people who decide the future of Canada are Canadians. Well, they certainly did, because now they got Mark Carney, who's worse than Justin Trudeau. So again, you have to explain to me why you got rid of Justin Trudeau and then voted in somebody worse than Justin Trudeau. It's like all of the Californians moving out of California, moving to Austin, Texas, and they're fleeing California because of the tax rates and because of the various restrictions and the various legislative items that they're fleeing from coming out of California. Regulations, that's what I was looking for. All the regulations. And they flee California and go to Austin, Texas, and then vote in the very policies they fled from. Same thing here. Canada will always be proud, sovereign, and independent. Early under Mark Carney, good luck with that. You didn't want to be the first state. Well, you might be the next Ursula von der Leyen state, though. Canada will always be proud, sovereign, independent, and we will never be the 51st state. Why don't you just understand that he's trolling you? Donald Trump, it was all just to get attention. Today, Canadians can vote for change. Oh, they did. They voted for you, and you had this election sewn up and you chose to throw it away. Change so we can strengthen our country, stand on our own 2 feet. And so you just join the globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist. You have lost. You are hundreds of billions of dollars in debt where 10 years ago you had no debt at all. And you just, Canadians just vote. I mean, it's amazing to me. Just using the carbon tax as an example. This is what Canadians fall for. And by the way, it's the same thing in blue states in the United States. They say to you, you know, we're going to give you a tax rebate of $3,000 a year, but we're going to charge you taxes of $6,000 a year. I don't want to lose my rebate. That's how people vote. Why don't you just vote for the person who's not going to charge you the $6,000 carbon tax instead of getting a $3,000 rebate and losing $3,000? I don't get people. I mean, I really don't. I don't want to lose my rebate. It's the same thing with fiscal policy in the United States of America. I don't want to lose an election, so I'm going to vote to bankrupt the country, therefore invalidating the dollar. And I myself will be bankrupt. But I want an election. You're now governing over a country that no longer exists. Today, Canadians can vote. Well, they did. They voted, and they voted in Mark Worst. I mean, you're talking about a globalist. Ghislaine Maxwell friend, a globalist leftist, bourgeois elitist, WEF friend, who can't even really claim that he's a Canadian because he rarely has ever even lived in Canada. And he's voted in as their president. Amazing. All right, go to the next one for me. Steve Bannon tweet. This is exactly why the so-called populist lost Pierre Poilievre. Now, boys, very, very sad result for Canada last night. A lot of people have been DMing me saying, why didn't everybody knows the Nelk boys? I mean, very solid. I mean, they were the ones who connected Trump with what generation, Aaron?
Gen Z.
They connected Trump with Gen Z, saying, and this is what Poilievre needed. Poilievre has firmly got the 40 to 60 vote, but he doesn't have anybody voting for him from 18 to 40, zero. And the Nelk boys, who are huge. Huge on social media, huge. You get their endorsement, he wins. It's just like Kamala. Give it to me, Aaron.
Kamala.
Joe Rogan. Shorts down Joe Rogan. You're wondering why you lost? Because you don't go down, you turn down, you refuse to go on Joe Rogan's show. And he refused to get this. So a lot of people have been DMing me saying, why didn't you use your platform to help Pierre like we did with Trump? Truth is, I have never tried harder to work with anyone than Pierre Poilievre. But Alex Jones says that it was Trump that cost him. It wasn't. I love Alex Jones. He's right most of the time. Wrong here. He sowed the seeds of his defeat many months ago by reaching out to him. And his team, get this, Aaron, get this, Joe from Canada, for years from every angle. We are here to help. You went there, you get their support, you win, just like Trump did. Then in turn decided they wanted nothing to do with us. Not only did they turn it down, they wanted nothing to do with them. The Nell Foundation was built in Canada. Our strongest fan base, the strongest fan base is, they are Canadian. And you get the Nelks, you win. He turns them down. You want it, Kamala, you win if you go on Joe Rogan. Nah. That's brilliant. If I was running for president and Joe Rogan offered for me to go on a show, I'd say where and when I'm there.
Yeah.
I'd cancel an arena event. Arena? You're reaching 12,000 people. Joe Rogan has hundreds of millions of views per show.
Yeah.
Aaron, help me. Help me understand.
Help me.
Why you would piss away winning the presidency of Canada. You just piss it away. Don't blame Trump. The Nelk Foundation was built in Canada. Our strongest fan base will always be in Canada. I wish we could have done more to help. Go to the next one. Chris Pavlovsky, owner and founder of Rumble. I had the same experience. You want nothing to do with Rumble too? There's tens of millions of people on Rumble, including conservative Canadians, and you wanted nothing to do with them? Amazing to me. I mean, it really is amazing to me. All right, 1017, that's good. All right, Rumble Rants. Thank you, Nate Dad One, $40. John Phillips, 1973, $10. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Listen, stick around for the post game. It's awesome. I mean, it really is. It's funny. It's awesome. Stick around for it. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9:00. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.